since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1184. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me from all the way from Switzerland, the man himself, Peter, man. Peter, what's up, Pete?
How you doing, Danny?
What's going on? Everything is good. Look, Paris, he's not going to be on this episode. He will be on the next. Shout out to him. Yo, Pete, can you believe this is our 17th season, 17th year? Of Gamertag Radio?
Yeah, it's weird. We're so used to saying 17 years or 16 years, and then hearing you say season, it is like, that's like the new podcast term for like the next...
Yeah, of course. Yeah, man. Yeah. No, but we have a lot of good stuff for this episode. I actually recorded a audio preview of Rainbow Six Extraction. I know we're going to be talking about that because you got to play the game. And also... E3 2022 might go digital.
Might?
I don't know.
Might?
Yeah, we had a conversation. Look, guys, first of all, thank you for attending my Twitter Spaces. We had a session there. I did it with Rihanna. Paris joined. Even Deej was there. It was a lot of people, man, from the industry. We were talking about E3 predictions of what might happen. And also, and there's a reason why I say might go digital. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And NVIDIA, Pete, I know they announced a couple of things, right? The team. We're going to be talking about that. Great. All that good stuff. CES looked like it's dead. with barely anyone there. It's like,
well, I mean, we can go into that later. But I mean, when you really think about it, it's a safety issue, I think, and it just makes more sense.
Yeah, of course.
Especially when you have major companies at the last minute backing out of CES, like I think Mercedes Benz and BMW and things like that, they all shut down. They shut down their teams. It's just a health issue, right? It's more, and I wouldn't say it's an issue. It's a precaution, right? You don't want to take that risk. Even though you might have people that are, you know, that are either immune or what have you, and I don't want this show to get into that. And I'm trying to avoid the word even.
I get it.
It's just a safety precaution. I would probably at the end of the day, I'd probably do the same.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you guys notice, we started in 2022 with a bang. Pete got a new camera, man. That camera looks smooth, man. Smooth, brother. For those that are watching on Twitch, I just want to say that very quick. All right, but so first of all, head over right now to gamertagradio.com. Listen to our past episodes. We have tons and tons of episodes. First gaming podcast to reach over 1,000 episodes. No other show has done that yet from the gaming side. I just want to say that. Make sure also to go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any podcast app out there, search for Gamertag Radio, follow us, subscribe, or even post a review. Thank you to everybody that's been posting your review for the new review system that they just added on Spotify a couple weeks back. That helps us out a lot. People will discover us because of your support. So whenever you get the chance, it only takes like 2-3 minutes, man, or less. Just go to your favorite podcast app and post a review. If you would like to be part of our family discussion, because we have one question here, Pete, that I'm going to add to this discussion at the end of the episode. But for those that are listening or watching, if you would like to be part of our discussion of fan mail, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So let's talk about E3. Why I think this is a might go digital. I know there's a lot of media outlets out there that have been saying that it's going to go digital officially. Mm-hmm. The ESA hasn't really confirmed that that's going to happen.
They said they're going to have details.
No, it's not a confirmation. I've read it. Yesterday, we read the whole press, like a quote. It's not a press release, but where they said that they're going to have more details about E3 2022. Now, here's the thing.
I think I understand what you're saying, where that
yeah.
they've shut down the in-person version of it.
The in-person. They never said we're going digital.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the part I'm saying. So the thing is, a couple months back, a little birdie told me that looks like it's not going to happen in person. That was like 2-3 months ago I heard about that. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to wait until it's official, and then I'll talk about it on a podcast. So then over a couple of days ago, Dean Takahashi at GameSpeak got a quote from the ESA, and it said that, yeah, the in-person event is not happening this year at all due to Omicron, et cetera, because of the pandemic, which is fine. You don't want to keep everybody safe. It's good. But, and this is the question I have for you. If E3 comes back this year as a digital event, are you going to get excited about it? Because let me tell you that right now. Last year, I was like, you know what? E3 is back. Let's see it. I got to watch the stream. I was not happy with it. One, because I felt like there was companies that were there, had zero announcements, and it didn't make zero sense for the company to have a digital event there for 30 minutes, not having any announcements. Just there. Now, if you don't have anything to announce, might as well just don't be on the show, be part of the show. Mm-hmm. But I felt like the ESA was dragging this so long just to have content for E3 last year. For example, if you watch Summer Game Fest, even if the game wasn't that great, whatever, there was announcements, good or bad. You get what I'm saying? So, but it's new content. I feel like E3 was just a lot of talk and no announcements at all. So if it happens, I wish that the ESA will make it smaller instead of having like this like 3-day event. And yeah, just that part I just want to say. But for you, Pete, do you think are you going to get excited? Do you think this is something that's going to be big? Or do you think E3 is just dead, because we've been talking about that for years on the show? It's true. We've been talking about
more. It's so true. So the official statement from them was, due to the ongoing health risks surrounding COVID-19 and its potential impact on the safety of exhibitors and attendees. And that goes to what you and I just mentioned, you know, just a few moments ago, of that they're shutting it down from an in-person perspective, right? But from a digital, we don't know. And at the end of the day, if you ask me, I'm totally fine with it. Go digital, because we've already been talking about the potential death of E3 for a few years now, right? And
yo, Pete, this is from like 2015, 2016, we've been talking about this.
Yeah, at least, right? And yes, I miss the physical aspect of E3 at the end of the day. You know, obviously seeing you in Paris, you know, us sharing an apartment for a week, is something that I looked forward to every year. It was almost like my second family vacation, right? And then obviously as well, seeing familiar faces that we, you know, of industry friends, people like Khalif, people like Q, May, Mona, Diana, and folks like that. I think if anything, for me, that's my favorite part of going to E3. Not so much the running around of the three of us, like Pepe Le Pew just, you know, Speedy Gonzalez running through, you know, E3 yeah. all over the place, just, you know, getting content. But it's those, and you know, honestly, even if it's just a hug or a dap and a peace sign from across the floor just to say hello, that's the part of E3 that I truly miss. As far as going to an all digital event, that's totally fine. That's I think it actually makes it better for people going or people that are digitally or virtually attending, just because it gives groups, whether it's developers or publishers, it gives them time to really focus resources on getting the messaging out right. That's one of the things we've always talked about in that when you go to, when you see an event, whether it's like a Nintendo Treehouse or something like that, right? You know that Nintendo has put all of their time and effort and resources into making sure that the messaging is correct, that there's no glitches or problems with a demo unit on stage or anything. Everything goes through seamlessly. And also, you get a potential leak-free environment. You don't have people with cameras around the corner watching a rehearsal of an event and then leaking that event out to Twitter, and then months and months of planning and time and effort and hard work and dedication goes right out the tubes because somebody had their phone out at the right opportunity, right? Or at an inopportune time. But then if you look about it, if you really think of it, I think the one that it hurts the most in you know, the whole converse of this is the indie developer, because they're the ones who get the most out of being, whether it's in that central hall at E3 in the LA Convention Center, or even so much so being out in the parking lot at Devolver Digital. And it's places like the Devolver Digital area that I got to check out games like Fall Guys, Gris, My Friend Pedro, Death's Door, Carrion, games that eventually became huge, but don't really have that star power or didn't really have the cachet of being on the main stage in the East or West halls. Or being in a Sony, you know, in the Sony booth or in the Microsoft booth, right? Like when we've gone to the shows. And at the end of the day, if you really think about it, everybody thinks of those events as part of E3. They're actually not, because E3 is what happens inside the main stage. But all those conferences that we've got that they were privileged to go to, those are events that are before E3, right? With Microsoft press conference, Sony, the Nintendo press conferences, the Ubisoft and the EA, you know, play events. Those are all pre-conference. So we really have to focus on what we're getting to see there. But going back to the original question, absolutely. I think we miss it. I think we, you know, we miss the camaraderie, the local, you know, bro fist hug situation. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. We saw that it was somewhat successful. They could get away. They could do it last year. But you have to think of safety and health at the end of the day, right? You've got people that are away from their families for 2 to 3 weeks sometimes, making sure that the sets and everything is in place. The long amount of hours that are used in the months leading up to the events for planning, you don't have to worry about the excess overhead of cost of hotel and transportation and food and health insurance for keeping people you know, away from their homes and their families. So I think at the end of the day, if you look at that, it's almost a win-win situation for the gaming industry. I know the gaming industry, there's always the talk of the long hours and crunch and things like that. And this actually helps devote time and resources towards actually getting the games right and not having to worry about, okay, well, now we've got to split a team off of people to work on a demo for E3. They can do it, but they can do it at home, right? They could do it in the office or they don't have to split up the team. They have the full gamut of resources to do things. So again, personally, keep it safe and dedicate your time and resources to getting a good E3 showing out. And we'll probably see this. I mean, we're talking about E3 now, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing things about Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show and everyone else under the sun starting to creep up now that E3 has made their announcement.
Yeah, we're probably going to find out more. And look, Jeff Keighley goes to Twitter.
I know, immediately after.
Immediately just posted Summer Game Fest return this summer. Like, that type of thing. I'm like, oh my God, that was like ruthless, man. But anyways, if you go back, for those that have been attending E3 or just watching from home, you realize Rockstar was the first company that said, you know what, no more booth at E3. We don't need to go over there, right? That was number one. Number two, Nintendo was the first company to start having those digital events. And I remember, Pete, if you go back to the old school audio recordings of Gamertag Radio, I remember when we first heard Nintendo were having like the digital format, we were like, oh man, this is the end of Nintendo. You remember that? Because that came out during the Wii U days. And the reason why that happened was because there was not many things to announce. So they would just have like this very short video a digital version of their press conference, their show it, right? But then they'll invite the media and content creators to go to the booth early to play all these games for the Wii U. Do you remember that?
I remember the time period, but I wasn't there in person. Remember, I didn't get to go until like 14, 13?
That is true. That is true. I was there. It was Paris. Mandy was there. A couple of our friends. But yeah, we got to go. We got to see. I think there was Donkey Kong was there. I think Nintendo Land was like a big thing too during that time. Yeah, it was very, very early days of a Nintendo Direct. Yeah, and I remember seeing that. I'm like, man, this is not good for Nintendo. Like, why would they even do this, man? And look, Nintendo was the pioneer of having digital events, yep. And now every other company's doing it. Every other company, man, can you believe that?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane where it's gotten to now.
It is, man. But anything else from this, Pete? From the conversation about E3 2022?
I don't think so. Again, I think it's better from a leak-free environment potential. You know, you keep people with their families instead of taking them away for long periods of time. And you get to control the messaging. It's like the three big things that we've talked about for years, right? You know, about E3 potentially, you know, going away. Is there a need for the event? Yes. Can we do it better? Absolutely. And I think this might be one of the ways that, you know, that has to happen. Yeah, it's a stalwart in the industry. It's been there forever. You know, you just assume that it's always going to be there. This might just be the straw that says, you know what? We were able to do E3 in a better way. And yes, like you said earlier, last year they held off on the decision as long as possible. And I think that kept people kind of like in flux, not knowing which way to direct resources. But now that they've made the statement, you know, almost, you know, about 6 months in advance, this now gives everybody else time to say, okay, because we know everybody's already been working on it since November, December anyways. But now they can say, okay, now we know we don't have to worry about getting a dev unit out to the, you know, and maybe getting, you know, three or five different builds all running and the scripting, they can get everything running smoothly. So when it's time for the show, you've had time to edit it and press play and do everything and make sure it works. So
definitely,
I think they'll be fine.
And look, for those that listen to the podcast, I'm planning to post the audio recording of the Twitter Spaces session that I had yesterday, because it was a very interesting conversation. Mm. Very, very interesting. And look, I get it. Not everybody's going to listen to the audio spaces on Twitter, the pre-recorded version. But I think it will be perfect to post that on the podcast later this week. I'll do that. And yeah, make sure to tune in, because it's pretty good. Really, really good. I know CES is happening, and there was like a digital event from NVIDIA. A couple of announcements happened during that time, and one of them is something I know you're probably excited in Paris. Me, I'm kind of like, okay, I just bought a new PC. I don't know if this makes sense for me, but the 3090 Ti. Was there a price announced for that or no. Not really? It was just
so they had two major announcements. They announced the 3070 and 3080 Ti models for laptops, and it was cool to see that hardware for laptops is starting to get on par with desktops, right? But the big announcement was the 3050, which is like the budget entry model of the 30 series. Starts off at 250 MSRP. Whether it actually gets to that on launch, I don't know, because we've seen the shortages that have happened from a mining perspective and its effect on the regular consumer. But from a hardware perspective, if you look at it, you turn on DLSS and you turn on ray tracing and you have the equivalence of like a 2060. So, and the reason I state that is this. So it's great for trying to get people into PC gaming, but can't afford like a 3080 or a 3090 or something like that. But the low tensor count on the 3050 might not be enough to give you enough of a benefit to use it. So with ray tracing, you turn it on, you lose FPS, but you turn on and enable DLSS, and it almost, because of the performance improvement it gives you, it almost puts you right back to where you should be, which is a 2060 or 2060 Super. So my main question is, why announce a 3050 when you could put resources towards building a 2080 or a 2060 or a 2070 that gives you the same performance? You know what I mean? And not putting the strain on new resources. And so this goes, and then they announced the 3090 Ti, which is like the big super baller, you know, GPU. I think the nickname was the BFG UPU or something like that, right? The big effing GPU, like kind of like a Doom thing. There's 24 gigs of GDDR6 XRAM, VRAM, and 40 teraflops of performance at only 11% boost improvement over the existing 3090. No price was given. Obviously, if you ask me, it's good. It's likely going to hit $2,000, maybe more, especially on the market. Now that, you know, the market is still wild for used GPUs, you could probably buy 2080 Ti that I sold last year for super cheap. Mm-hmm. It's easily double the cost of what a normal card costs today. So that year plus of having GPUs that are double MSRP are still there because of the whole GPU and the mining shortage. But going back to what we were talking earlier, why put out a 3090 Ti, right? Is it investment? Is it investor, an investor, you know, battle within NVIDIA? Because I think NVIDIA could put more resources into building, whether it's a 3070, 80, or 3090 GPU, or give consumers another chance at 2060s, 2070s, and 2080 Ti's, and get rid of the massive shortage that's going on everywhere. I don't know. Me personally, I don't think it's a good look for NVIDIA. Others will say yes. But I really think it's a bad time to do that, man. You've got the return of another possible pandemic, and people may not having the ability or the financial capability to make large scale purchases like this. And you're going to put out a card that's in excess of $2,000 on the market, and it's not reading the room, in my personal opinion. You want to send me one? I'm not going to tell you no.
Hey.
But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think this was the right time to do that. I just don't think it was the right time. I think they could have put their time and resources towards putting cards in more consumers' hands in a manner of putting, you know, instead of putting out a 3090 Ti, which honestly really isn't needed these days. You could put it towards putting more 30s, 3090s, or 3080s, 3070s, or what have you on the market. If you want to not have to worry about the 3050 and putting all the, you know, and putting more 2060s or 2060 supers or whatever on the market, fine. You just want to focus on the 30 series, fine. But then put all this time and effort and resources into putting the lower spectrum of your inventory out on the market so consumers can take advantage of it, as opposed to spending time and binning specific GPUs or silica just to make sure that you get these 3090 Ti cards out there. I think it's not doing any justice to the industry. It's doing a disservice, I think, to consumers.
I think I should talk about this because this happened during the holidays.
Exactly.
So breaking news, and I mean breaking news. I got a PC, a new gaming PC. I don't know if anybody wanted to applause or clap or whatever, but yeah, that's that just happened over the holidays. And thanks to the help of Pete and also Paris, shout out to you guys. You guys got me a nice gaming PC and also has 3080 there. It's super fast. I've been playing a lot of games. Actually, I've been playing a lot more games on my PC than my console. And here's the reason why. One, trying to get used to playing it like this. Number two, I also want to like stream more and do other things too that I couldn't do before. So the funny thing, I posted the picture of my setup, mm-hmm. and I had Forza Horizon 5 up, right? And people were like, all right, so Danny bought a PC to play Xbox games. So, like, what the heck?
I remember seeing the comment. I can't remember who it was that said it. We're not going to flame you online. It's okay. But I remember just laughing, oh my God, he got him.
But you know why? You know why it's crazy? Because I asked everybody, hey, so what games do you think I should try out? You know, people mentioned The Witcher. And I noticed a lot of people were mentioning Forza Horizon. I'm like, yo, Forza Horizon is like one of my favorite games ever, man. So let me just download it. So, of course, I downloaded it. I posted it and people, oh, yeah, Xbox games. Okay. But, Pete, a lot of people have been asking me questions about specs. And, look, I'm going to keep it real. Look, I am not a spec guy. I was like, I was just depending on Pete and Paris who helped me out with this, especially Pete. Mm-hmm. So, Pete. Can for the listeners and the people who are watching on Twitch, do you know exactly the specs that I have? Because this is all new to me. You have the setup. I think you have it somewhere on Discord, somewhere, or what's that? Our group chat.
Let me see if I can do this without like. Okay, let me see if I can see your chat.
Well, while you're searching, I have to admit something else. Look. I get everybody get excited about mouse and keyboard. I can't do it. I can't. I tried. I'm like this, and I'm trying to like hold the mouse. I can't do this. I prefer play the gaming PC, but with a controller, and I feel comfortable. It's good. And look, everybody's going to have their preference. You know, Pete loves mouse and keyboard, not a fan of controller. But I think certain games, I see myself using the mouse and keyboard. Certain games, like, but not first-person shooters. I can't. I tried so many times. And I'm pointing up. It's weird. It's like, I can't do it.
So it's going to take it's going to take a lot of time, right? So when I did my last switch, I think it was 2017, when I switched back from playing primarily on console to switching to PC, it took 6 months of nonstop dedicated playing on mouse and keyboard just to get used to it. Just to get used to, like, to not have to do, like, you're looking at the screen and you're looking at your keyboard, you're looking at your screen, you're looking at your mouse, to not have to do that. And then it took maybe another year before the fluency, the comfort level of actually playing on keyboard and mouse and not having to just always look down. Do I still look down on my keyboard? Absolutely. And it's been 4 or 5 years now that I've done it. The game is called PUBG, Pete. Thanks. Thanks, Arctic. I really appreciate the flame midstream. Thank you.
PUBG, Pete. PUBG, Pete.
But at the end of the day, it takes practice. It's not expected that you're just going to pick this up overnight and all of a sudden you're just going to throw all your controllers into the garbage. No. And you know what? It's at the end of the day, it's your PC. It's your choice, your preference. Am I going to ridicule you? Absolutely. But it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's your computer. You play your games. You play your PC in the way you want. And it's the same thing the three of us have been harping on, whether it's here on the show or it's on social media, about choice. You do what the hell you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you do it. I don't care. It's whatever puts the most fun back in your hands. It's absolutely, it is all that's important.
So you found the specs?
I didn't find the specs. I don't have it because they sent it to your email. So you have it in your email, but it's 16 gigs of RAM. I believe we got you an AMD Gen 4 motherboard. Obviously AMD, I want to say it was a 5600 on the CPU.
I'm looking at my order.
If you just want to send it to me, I could read it off because I'll know exactly what to look at.
Yeah.
But it's an NZXT machine. Actually, I could probably go to.
There you go. I sent it. Okay. There you go. Interesting stuff. I mean, look, I've been having fun. And here's a weird thing, and I hope they fix this in the future, but 343 really needs to fix Halo on PC because the game breaks. Like, it crashes all the time. It crashes, dude. But here's the thing. There was a live tournament a couple weeks back. Even my brother was telling me about this. He goes, dude, the game was crashing live on stream. I'm like, ooh, that's not good. That's not good. So I'm playing the game and it just go beep. And I have it low settings on that game. Like, I could care less because there's no difference when you play that game on ultra or low. Like, it, I don't see any difference. But
right.
Yeah.
I didn't have it. I haven't had an issue like that. Not to say that it isn't happening.
That's the only game. Every other game, I'm fine. I play GTFO.
Right.
I've been playing Horizon on PC. That's another game. Can't talk about. I've been playing it. High res, ultra. Yo, dude. No crash. Nothing. Smooth.
Interesting.
Halo Infinite is the only game that crashes. I don't know what's going on. That is strange. It's very strange.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, folks, time to pay the bills.
This is Gamertag Radio.
So, you got it, Pete? The email?
The email has not come into my mailbox. But
go to fine. Go to your spam. Maybe it's in your spam folder.
I checked. It's not there, dude.
Really? Really? I sent it to you.
That's fine. That's fine. But it's an NZXT with an H510 case. If I'm not mistaken, it's a Gigabyte X570S Aorus motherboard. Kraken X63 RGB AIO cooler. Your GPU is a 3080. It's an aftermarket one. I don't remember off the top of my head which one they put in your case. Actually, I might be able to get away with talking about it. It's an EVGA GTX RTX 3080. And the CPU that we put in there, I want to say it's a Ryzen 5 5600X. Once the email comes in, I can absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. AMD Ryzen. Yep, I see it.
So yeah, and then there's 2 8-gig sticks of T4's Vulcan Z 16-gig DDR4 RAM. And then as far as storage, I think we just put a handful of NVMe drives in there to make sure that, you know, you have your operating system on one, you put all your games on the other, so that way. And that's the right way, to, in my personal opinion, to do it. So that you let one drive handle your PC, and then the other one is just dedicated. So all your lanes of bandwidth on your storage goes straight towards gaming performance. But yeah, I mean, Shout out to NZXT, the BLDs, or the build system configurator, the system that they have within their website is really, really easy to use. Like, you can just, it's literally like selecting options for your car. And then you press go, and I think you had your computer in 3 days.
Yeah, it was super fast. I'm like, wow.
That part was insane. Incredible. That was just like, wait a minute. Like, if I tried to,
I mean, they're here. They're local.
Right. But like, and look, viewers on Twitch, listeners on the stream or on the podcast, I tried everything possible to get this man to go to the Micro Center, which is like down the street, to like buy the parts and build it. Even if he had to take it to work at G4 and have one of the people there do this, like build it for him. Paris yelled at us for not buying the parts separately. And I tried, and look, at the end of the day, I understand where Danny's coming from, right? And the same reason that he prefers to play on console is the same exact reason why he wanted to do a pre-built. And just to confirm, because I did come in now, he got Seagate Firecuda 520. So obviously Gen 4, you get PCIe Gen 4 connectivity for your hard drives, super fast. The Seasonic GM 750 80 plus gold. It's a Ryzen 5 5600X. Yeah. And then, sorry, the motherboard was different. It was an ASRock Taichi X570 AM4 board.
Well, but other than I'll that, say this.
It looks fantastic. And you know what?
Hey, yeah, I love it.
If you like it, nice. That's all that matters.
That's why it matters, yeah.
Say less.
Yeah, that's it. I'm happy with it, and that's it. All right, so Pete, I know there's one more thing before we go to the audio preview of Rainbow Six Extraction. That one is pretty long. It's like a good 20-ish minutes. And it's one of my... one of my coworkers, part of the team at XPlay. We got to play during the event that is, they invited us, Ubisoft, a couple of weeks back. So yeah, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, Pete, I know Sony was also part of CES, and there was a press conference. They talk about multiple Sony products. There was a lot of announcements, but there was one, a very short 6-minute announcement and also a segment of PlayStation. So one of the things that they talked about was the new PlayStation VR 2. Now, I wish Paris was here, because we talked about this over the phone, and we had a great conversation about VR. And here's the thing with me. I'm glad people are excited about VR, and I've been saying it since day one, even when Half-Life Alyx came out last year or mm-hmm. 2 years ago. I said, yo, it's VR. I just don't see VR blowing up. So that's one. Number two, I'm glad that this one is going to be a lot better than the first one. But here's the issue that I have. First of all, price. Number two, there's a lot of people that still to this day can't get a PlayStation 5. If you compare the first VR for PlayStation 4, there was a lot more consoles out there. So it made sense. For this, I feel like if it's only PlayStation 5 thing and that's it, it's going to be kind of hard for other developers to start making games for VR, for PlayStation 5. Again, not that many people with it. You know what I'm saying? And the only thing that I think, in my personal opinion, that will help to get even more people to buy this, just imagine if this is also available for PC. Let's just say, P, right? Because there is PlayStation PC games available, right, that you could go and buy and download, right? Imagine they had PlayStation VR 2. You play on your PlayStation 5, but it's also available for PC. So there's certain VR games that you could play on that. That would be genius. More people will buy it. But I think just having it as an exclusive only for PlayStation 5, in my opinion, is not enough. Is that going to get more developers to make games? If there's not a lot of games for that, guess what? People are not going to buy it. It's going to remind me of the early days of PlayStation Vita, which I had that. During that time, there was not that many games. There was a lot of indie games, don't get me wrong, but like exclusive first-party content from Sony, not that much, man. And after a while, I just sold it. I'm like, look, I think this is not worth it, man. I sold it to a friend of mine. But that's the issue that I have. And everybody's excited because I get it's Sony, PlayStation. I get it. But I have a lot of questions, man. And a lot of, like, I'm not thrilled about it, man. I'm just keeping it real. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to that stuff. But do you feel the same or no?
So the demo, super short. But I understand.
Oh, it was Horizon.
Yeah, I know. Horizon Zero Dawn, Call of the Mountain, I think was the name of the title. It was a super
Horizon,
short.
Horizon what?
Call of the Mountain.
Okay, now Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the first game.
Well, it's Horizon. It's Horizon Zero, whatever, Call of the Mountain, right? That's what it said in the stream. That's what it said in the thing. Super short, you know, the ability to walk around and see dinosaurs and stuff like that through the landscape is pretty cool. I can see how it could potentially boost their footprint in VR. Yes, it's only compatible with PS5, but they're promising faster refresh rates, wider field of view, and an improved tracking and input. The resolution, I think they talked about, they didn't talk about it, so right now it's rumored to be 4,000 by 2040, right? So 2,000 by 2040 per eye, totaling 40,000 by 2040. Mm-hmm. If you compare that to the previous specs, which I'm looking at on the PlayStation.com website, it was 1920 by 1080, so you had 960 by 1080 resolution per eye. Your refresh rate was 120 hertz, field of view was 100 degrees. So if they're trying to do better refresh rates and wider field of view, I think it's gonna it'll make getting dizzy on VR a lot easier and a lot faster. But like you said, no launch date, no price given. You ask me, I think it's probably gonna be the same as what the original PSVR came out with at $499, which could or could not be seen as a mistake. But if you think about it from a price comparison point, they're not trying to be the cheapest, but they're not trying to be the most expensive. Because right now, because they're saying it's a premium VR device. And if you look at the Vive 2, which, or not Vive 2, Vive Pro, most people say that that is the premium VR unit to use right now. And that is what, $800?
Depending
where you're at. So by putting it at 500, it's not the cheapest, but it's not the most expensive. It sits in the middle. You get a high quality premium VR device. Going back to your conversation about the stuff that you could play, there is a rumor that I read while researching this story in that it's going to be backwards compatible, which I think...
Oh, that helps.
Would help a lot. And I think that would help reduce some of the doubt you personally have, not having the amount of titles that are that support VR. But if now you're saying, which is funny because when we talk about backwards compatibility, Sony's not always been the best friend in that narrative. But now it's like, okay, wait, I can go back and play other VR games from the previous PlayStation. That actually starts to open the door of doubt and saying, okay, well, this might be something that, you know, people would get into. What do you think?
Is that enough though?
I don't know. I'm not on the PlayStation platform. I can't say that. Sony, want to change my mind? Send me a platform. Hey, I challenge you.
Again, don't get me wrong. I think the technology on top is going to be way better than the previous VR. But is it enough if there's people still to this day struggling just to find a PlayStation 5 and they're going to release this?
You're 100%
you
correct.
You get what I'm saying?
No. I That's get you 100%. You're right.
I'd rather Sony focus on, hello, get more consoles out there, or even have a mini version of PlayStation 5, a slim version, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me is better because now more people could play Ratchet and Clank. More people could play Horizon that comes out next month and later this year, hopefully, God of War, etc. Like, that to me is more important than just, hey, we have a VR. It's like, right. I don't know. I'm not really thrilled about it. Dude, everybody was talking about it on social media. Like, just, you know how it is, Pete. Like,
So the only thing I can say that I kind of disagree with you is like telling Sony to put more consoles out. There's a global shortage, so it's not like they're holding them back. It's not like they're or are they? Who knows? But but I totally understand what you're saying with respect to how are you going to put more $500 VR sets when I can't even buy that only works with a PlayStation 5 and I can't even buy a PlayStation 5 by going to the store, right? I have to play the New Egg Shuffle, or I have to play the Amazon Shuffle, or you know, be blessed by the gods when I walk into the store and happen to see one on the shelf that nobody else saw, right?
Yeah.
How do you get through that, right? And this is only going to target existing PlayStation 5 customers. And if that is the case, are you going to run into B&H Photo in New York City and drop $1,000 to buy a VR combo?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Nope. I've been having this conversation with Paris too for a while now. Even way back when, before the PlayStation 5 came out, we had this conversation where I was saying, I was like, yo, don't be surprised if you see Half-Life Alyx as an exclusive for VR2. I could see that happening easily because it's only available on PC. Also have that game available for console. That would be huge for Sony, huge. But is that going to be enough for the majority of PlayStation 5 owners to go out like, you know what? I'm going to buy this VR set. That's the problem. And if there's not that many units out there, it's the same thing with Kinect. Remember Kinect? It was out, cool technology, couple deals were made behind the scenes so companies could add features, Kinect, but there was not that many great full 100% Kinect games. There was not that many. And at the end it fell off. And that's why Microsoft was like, oh, let's have it as a bundle. More people are gonna have it, more developers are gonna develop it. But now what happened? The whole freaking bundle was expensive and that's why Xbox One was a failure when it came out. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things. I'm just trying to be smart. I'm not trying to get hyped just because it was just a new announcement from Sony. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's all.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. One more thing. We're going to play now the audio of our hands-on preview of Rainbow Six Extraction. Again, this is not a review. This is just a preview. Once the review comes out, we have more things to talk about. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. So check it out. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, everyone. We're going to now talk about Rainbow Six Extraction and here on Gamertag Radio and have a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Oh, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Emily Rose Jacobson, and I am a creative producer for X-Play on G4 TV, among other things.
yeah, part of the team. And make sure to check out her past work. That's amazing. I know you worked on the Skyrim video for G4. I know it was a couple other videos. You want to mention a couple ones
You mentioned
people you worked on?
I'll do the ones that, I love. I did, is Fallout 76 good now? Because I'm a big Bethesda nut. Yes, I also did the Skyrim, the 10th anniversary Skyrim kind of mockumentary. And then I've did the reviews of Guardians of the Galaxy, the review for Back 4 Blood, the review for Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1. And my most recent video was Cyberpunk 2077 one year later.
Awesome. Well, congrats, Emily, and welcome to GTR. First time on a podcast.
Yes.
You're a podcaster. You've been doing podcasts for a while too, right?
I have. I'm actually a part of a Mass Effect tabletop RPG podcast. So if you like Mass Effect and you like a narrative tabletop RPGs via podcast, check out Adventum.
Adventum. Make sure to go to your favorite podcast platforms and subscribe. Exactly. So, Emily, I know we got opportunity to play a preview, Rainbow Six Extraction. This was just a couple hours preview, and we were playing co-op. And have you ever played Rainbow Six before, Rainbow Six Siege or anything
I've played a little bit of Siege here and there, namely at, like, E3, because I'd always go into the Ubisoft. Like, I'd always get press invites to Ubisoft, so I'd be like, oh, yes, here's our new Assassin's Creed, and we have Rainbow Six over here if you want to see what all we've added in the last year. And so I've picked it up here and there. It's never really been my big cup of tea, but like this one very, very much interested me from the announcement trailer we got. I think it was last summer
ago, I think. Yeah. Yeah, but originally when they announced this was a Tom Clancy Rainbow Six Quarantine.
Yep.
So that it started like that. And then, because of the pandemic, they changed it to Extraction. Now, I know in the past you play some zombie games. This is not a zombie game at all. It's not like Left 4 Dead or Back 4 Blood. Is this Aliens? What is this in your opinion?
It's an alien game. That's what's so funny to me. I love it. I mean, Back 4 Blood, weirdly also an alien game. I think everyone's kind of going away from like zombies because it's now hitting too close to home with the pandemic, and they're going into aliens. But I mean, it's super fun. Yeah, I really want to know more about the lore of like who are these aliens, how did they get here, what is the state of the world like, because I know in like I think it was in Siege, it's very much like the US has fallen, here we are. And so I'm like, great, how do these aliens affect the timeline? I know it's a little bit of a splinter story, but like, what is the path to that splinter story, et cetera? That's the thing I'm really curious about.
Yeah, I know there are some operators from the Rainbow Six universe in there, and you could play up to 3 players co-op. And in this, there's 12 maps in the game. There's 13 dynamic mission types that you could do in there. And also over 90 weapons and gadgets. I don't know if you're a fan of gadgets. I'm more of a weapon guy. I'm like a run and shoot. I know some people like to take their time with the missions. This is not a Halo game or anything like that. Mm-mm. But how's your style? Like, what is it that you like to do?
I totally picked that up on your play style from when we played together in this game. I was like, yes. But that's what's so much fun is that I really see the flexibility of play in this game. I'm very much like, I'm long distance range lady. I love me a good sniper rifle. I love me some tactical approach. So like as soon as I figured out like you have a drone in this game where you can just like remote control drone and it helps you out immensely. Like, you can sneak into rooms, you can see kind of where your objectives are, where enemies are. You can really use that to kind of chart a course before you go in guns blazing. And for me, like, that suits my playstyle so, so much. I love stealth. I'm a huge, like, arcane person. Let me do all the stealthy stuff. So, that's what I love about this game. Yeah, is that you can play, it plays to your run and gun style, but also plays to my kind of tactical planning, stealthy style.
And the most important thing, this is cross-platform and also cross-save, which I think nowadays in 2022, we have to see more games with that. Anything that deals with like multiplayer, because not everybody has the same type of platforms, you know, or consoles. But that's good. So let's say I have an Xbox, a PlayStation. I could play with Emily. She has the PC version. So I think that's great. I think that's going to help for the community to grow even more, you know, for those that are fans of this game. I know you can also play solo. We'll talk about that in the future, but we're going to talk about more about our experience. And for example, the session that we were in, we got to play and we've done a couple of missions, but you have the option of to go to the extraction and just leave the mission. Or if you want the mission to become even more difficult, you could continue with your teammates. And there's some moments where I notice either I died or Emily dies, and she will take me back to where like the helicopter will pick us up, and we have to decide, should we just go and leave one person here? It's only going to be only two of us now instead of three. And we had an option to do that. Sometimes we'll go back, sometimes we'll continue, and we'll just have our teammate just wait for us there while we'll work on the mission too. But Emily, and correct me if I'm wrong, it gets difficult the more you stay and continue doing the missions, right?
Yes, I really, really love that. I love when a video game really gives me stakes. I love this is a very high risk, high reward game. So yeah, you have kind of three levels of your extraction. And the third one, yeah, they get progressively difficult, but that third one is basically like, do you want the XP? Do you want the achievements? Do you want the goals? Because yeah, it kicked our, there was one mission where we're like, yeah, I think we can move on. I think we got this. And immediately we just had our butts handed to us, like in the first couple seconds of that final round. But to me, I'm like, I love that, because that really encourages kind of cooperation and team building, in the sense that, like, yeah, you all have to agree, like, oh, do we have enough health? Because I think you're allowed to go down once, and then you can be revived by a teammate, but then the second time you go down, you go into the stasis mode, and that's when you have to be evac'd out. And so, yeah, if you're like, okay, we're in our second round, if nobody's gone down once, so we have those extra kind of, we're in pretty good health, let's move forward. Or it's like, oh, we all have no lives left, I'm at 20 health. Maybe it's not good that we push on, because yeah, if you lose that mission, you lose everything. That's the big thing, everything. And I love that. I love it.
And yeah, and for example, if one of your operators die and you go back to the lobby, you can't select that player. They have to recover. Like, it's going to take some time. So you have to pick somebody else to go back to the mission. And that happened to us like a couple times. I remember I'm like, damn, I have two people down. I can't go back. I don't know what to do. You know?
Yeah.
So they were like they were my favorite operators, you know, based on like their style, their skills and everything. So, but yeah, but I like it. It's very challenging. And, you know, at first I felt like I found it easy, but once I noticed that when you joined, and we also had another third person that joined us, and we started doing even more missions, I'm like, okay, this thing is getting difficult. And this was just on the normal difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So imagine later, once it gets even harder, once you do more and more missions, you know. So, but I think the replay value is pretty high, because you want to go back, you want to do some certain things differently, and not only that, they will have end game content in there. Also, even post launch, they're gonna have more missions and challenge modes available there in the game. So, yeah, I think this is pretty good, really, really good. Plus, the game is going to be available. This was just announced. It's going to be available on Game Pass. So the number of people that are going to be playing this on launch is going to be crazy high.
It's going to be super fun lobbies, hopefully, mm-hmm. of people wanting to have fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was the thing that stood out to you about just like the enemies and the things that you do in the game?
Oh, it was...
In your opinion.
It's definitely Because you have like your run and shoot alien games where it's like, all right, here's our standard alien. Here's our different types. Here's our tanker. Here's kind of the one that's going to really charge you. Here's the sprinty one. But there is a really unique feature in this game where it's like, I forget the name of it, but it's basically, it's like this alien sludge that exists. And if the aliens step on it, they speed up and they can cover more ground faster. And if you step in it, it slows you down. And it also works, I think, as an alert system for the aliens. Like, they are connected to it. So, like, you can shoot it and clear it out, but you're also creating noise. Or you can just try and avoid it entirely. But, yeah, if you run through that thing, A, you're going to get slowed down. And, B, you're going to alert the aliens that you're there. And to me, I'm like, oh, that gets, yes, I love it. It's a whole new level of, like, this game really requires you to plan and think. Like, you can run and gun if, like, you're super skilled, if you're really skilled FPS, like, dodging and sliding through doors and stuff, but like, yeah, there's also this kind of methodical tactical aspect of this game which like really excites me because that spooky sludge.
Yeah, you know, there was a part of the mission that I did before you joined. I was actually playing with somebody else, and I was in a room that had to do a mission, and I tried to cover certain areas so it would take longer for the enemies to go in, and they just broke everything and went in to try to attack me because they noticed I was going to destroy like an egg or something like that mm-hmm. in the game. That was really fun. But yeah, that stuff that you talked about, I remember I was running. There was a couple enemies that was going after me and I felt like I was stuck. I'm like, and by mistake, I start shooting it to the, like on the floor and I noticed that it disappeared. So you have the option to use either your weapons or just grab a knife and just swing at it. And it will disappear, so it will help you to run faster, you know. But at me, I start shooting everywhere, so clear that area up as much as I can.
No, yeah.
So that was cool.
There's a lot you can do in this game.
Yeah, and honestly, like, sometimes when we'll go back to the mission, it doesn't feel the same. Like, I feel like either the enemy changes or just the environment changes every time you go back. So I like that. It's very unpredictable when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What else, Emily, do you would like to talk about for this before we wrap this up? Because I really enjoy this. I think for those that are been kind of like curious about it, you should definitely check this out. Even if you have Game Pass on PC or console, try it out for sure.
100%. I know
this is also going to be like in other platforms too, you know, but like on Stadia, Amazon Luna, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4. So Xbox One also, you could try it out. But yeah, you were going to say something?
Like, I'm not the biggest Rainbow Six person, but I really have really, really enjoyed what I've played of this game so far, and it's an absolute blast. Yeah, I think another big thing for me is the operators, and that the choice in your operator is also pretty essential. Like, with Back 4 Blood, certain like, whatever character you choose had, like, certain perks, but then if you buffed out your cards in the card system in that game, you could kind of basically like get around those perks if you're like, I just really like this character and I'm gonna work them to suit my play style. With the operators, it's like they have one super skill and they have like, they have their set weapons and they have their set abilities. And so, yeah, it goes back to what you said earlier, like, you can have your favorite operators. Like, I love the tech girl, and as soon as she went down, I immediately was like, no, oh no, I haven't played with anyone else yet. I am much weaker than I'm going to be. And yeah, I think that not only applies to like your personal play style, but you can also suit it to like who you're playing with. So if you're with a group and you're like, okay, we clearly need some kind of healer, you can select the medic character who I believe gets like, they're able to heal people. You don't have to just find health items. They can restore your health if they go up next to you. And that's like kind of like their ability. And so, yeah, there's stuff I love. Like, it's very well thought out, and there's really, really specific details. And yeah, like I said, it's very tactical and very methodical.
Yeah, I think my question to you, Emily, for those that never play a game like this, but they are huge fans of Rainbow Six Siege, do you think this game will get their attention to just try it out just because it's part of the Rainbow Six universe?
I think so, especially if it has, like, I know this game has operators that kind of span throughout the Rainbow Six universe, which is really, really fun. And I think, yeah, I mean, it's got that really nice kind of co-op gameplay that Rainbow Six is known for. Like I said, you can run in and you can go running and gunning and stuff. And there's all the levels are very, very unique. There's each, I think, yeah, going back to what you're saying, I think there's like 13 different objectives. There's a certain amount of like, there's different missions that can be shuffled through throughout. So it's always going to be something new. It's always going to be something different. And yeah, I say like, yeah, if you like Rainbow Six, I think you'll like this too. It's like Rainbow Six meets like Alien Left 4 Dead, or like Rainbow Six meets Alien, even more Alien Back 4 Blood. But yeah, I say give it a chance, especially if you're looking for like a co-op that really challenges you. I think this is one you definitely need to play.
Yeah, and I have to mention this. This is a standalone game. This is not a like downloadable content for Rainbow Six Siege or anything like that. So just want to make that clear for those that are listening. But another thing I forgot to mention is this has a couple things that's similar to Back 4 Blood. Like, you know, when you play the game and you finish a mission and you go to like a safe house, there is something similar to that in here where once you lock that, you can't get out. Like you have to go to the next area of the map, you know? So that's something that's pretty cool because it will help you to save yourself from the chaos. Once there's like so many enemies, you could just lock yourself in that area and they can't go in, you know? So, and also once you level up in the game, that will also will help you to unlock new missions and new levels. So the more you play, the more will help you to get experience points. And,
but
it will help you to, yeah,
this
go ahead.
Goes back to the stakes, the most terrifying part of this game. So if you die in the game and you don't have your team rescue you, you will lose all level. You will, your oh, character, that, will, re- for, your character right. will restart right. at level one, which it's so mean, but I love it because it's like, yeah, it's like those are the stakes. I love it.
Yeah, you have to be careful. You have to be really, really be careful. And then also take your time. I think that was my mistake because I was rushing through a lot of the missions and it hurt me a lot. You know, you have to also like make sure that you have not only health, but how are you going to get health back, you know, if you don't have any? You know, maybe some of your operators, like your teammates, could also help you out with that too. So I feel like this to me is a co-op game for sure, based on that, you know what I'm saying? So let me see if there's any. I think that's about it. You know, I highly recommend for everyone to try this out. This game is just a lot of fun, and I can't wait for the official review in the future on G4 and also on GTR, right, Emily?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
That's gonna be a lot of fun. All right, Emily, before we wrap it up, mention your Twitter account or socials, anything that so people could follow you if there's any other future projects that you're working on, so people could check that out.
Oh, sure. You can follow me on Twitter. That's where I post a lot of my stuff, @frankly_Emily. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's frankly_Emily with an extra little underscore at the end there. And yeah, like I said, I'm a part of Mass Effect Adventum, a tabletop Mass Effect RPG podcast. I think we've been doing this for 4 years now. We're in season 2.
Wow.
It's wild.
That's awesome.
Time
That's
flies
awesome.
When you're having fun. But yeah, we've had guests like Mark Meer come on and play with us, who was the voice of Commander Shepard in the original trilogy. And yeah, like if you love Mass Effect, if you love good storytelling, it's got emotions, it's got danger, and it's just got so much hilarity. So yeah, feel free to check it out.
Yeah, make sure to check out the description of this episode and click the link. I'm gonna post Emily's social there so you can follow her. And also tell her that she did an amazing job on the podcast too. She did an amazing job.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Emily.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete, so before we end the show, you also got to play Rainbow Six Extraction very quickly. Your thoughts?
I enjoyed it, but you're asking a Rainbow Six fan about whether I liked it. And yes, I enjoyed it. You and I had a great time playing, and if it wasn't for you having to work in the middle of us streaming and gaming, we would have been playing for a lot longer. I'm down to continue playing it.
We should play some more.
I'm down. I'm down whenever. Game comes out on the 20th for all platforms. cross-plat, cross-save. I was playing in Switzerland. Danny's playing in LA. Lag-free. I had no issues. I actually tested this and during the stream, I was asking you and I was going back and forth with the viewers on the stream talking about it. And I put it up on my screen and it said I had 8 milliseconds of ping going to the closest Ubisoft server. And when Danny checked it, I think he had like 25 milliseconds of ping going from LA.
From LA, yep.
And when we were playing, at one point, the first time we played together, he was connecting to me and he didn't see or detect any lag or any desync or anything. He was playing smooth as if he was playing a single player campaign. And then the second time we played, I connected to him, which means essentially I'm connecting to his data center in LA. But for me, it was showing that I was connecting here in Europe. So I don't know if maybe they've figured out the issue of playing lag-free within the cloud that maybe other providers need to do. Like, so you honestly, when I play Halo Infinite, I'm fantastic when I play in the EU, but when I play with my friends in the States, I'm trash because I'm battling 90 to 120 milliseconds of ping. Like Danny, when me, you, and Rihanna and Mark played Halo Infinite right before y'all left for Vegas during the holidays, we had a blast. And yes, I was dealing with ping, but we didn't play with a ping disadvantage, or I didn't play with a ping disadvantage, or neither did you when we were playing Extinction. Is that because this is a PvE game and it's much easier to have to track incidents and resources in a co-op experience versus playing it multiplayer where you've got 6, 8, 12, maybe, you know, like 64 if you're playing Battlefield, you know, 2042, where you're tracking all of that information and trying to keep it, you know, together? I don't know.
Maybe is it because also
maybe I just need to play more PvE games?
Yeah. I mean, is it dedicated servers for this?
That's,
I think, because I remember the first one, there was a controversy that wasn't dedicated servers, and then they added it. Ubisoft added it after. So I think for this one that they launched, I think this one has dedicated servers. I think that's what it is, Pete. Look it up, because I remember there was a huge controversy when the first game came out, Siege. Look it up.
I'm looking it up. I do not see anything about dedicated servers.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Well, just leave it as that. All right. But overall, you enjoyed it. That's good.
I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. I don't want to give it away. Honestly, you want to see gameplay? Head on over to the archives on Twitch and watch Danny and I playing Extraction. Watch Danny running out of bullets. We had a great a great time.
Yeah. It was a lot. Now, before we wrap it up, I just want to say thanks to everyone. Next month is our 17th year of Gamer Tag Radio. Long time. Pete's kids were like, I don't know, they were like not even the double digits yet. They were like really young, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. It's crazy that the show is still strong. We're still getting a lot of listens from fans worldwide. And I'm glad that people are supporting us. And every year we get better and better, man. And I'm going to continue to do this as long as I can. Pete, probably feel the same. And also Paris too, you know. And I can't wait for this year, man. Pete, you want to say anything about that?
No, it's a miracle. I mean, hell, my daughter was 3, Dimitri was 8 when we first met.
Yes, very, very long time.
So, you know, my son is 23, my daughter is 18. That just tells you we're, you know, that we've been doing this for, you know, much longer than I thought we would. Obviously, you know, us, you know, doing this has obviously grown our relationship much further than just, you know, oh, we play games together. You know, obviously we're like best friends at the end of the day. So 17 years, dude, that's insane. Okay. We've been doing this longer than most people's marriages.
I know. And actually, believe it or not, Pete, January 25th is my 21st year of just being a content creator, you know, before podcasts with like internet radio and all that stuff. So that's another thing I'm like, yo, I can't believe this, man. But I did a the 10-year challenge. You're just supposed to picture like, oh, 10 years ago, this is me. Mm-hmm. Look at me now. Yo, I look the same. I haven't really changed. I haven't really changed at all. I'm like, oh, man. But I feel like content-wise, I'm just having fun, man. You know, I'm getting better, you know, doing new things. And I've been getting a lot of opportunities to try out stuff that I've never done before, you know. And it's getting better. It's getting better. I'm really proud of you and proud of Paris.
Hey, we got you on PC. That's 17-year challenge, bro.
That was a very long time, man. But see, I feel like the support of the fans is the reason why we're still doing this, man.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Still doing this.
Absolutely.
Having a great community.
Whether it was the old forums or today it's on the Discord server, it's not for you guys and girls, you know, we wouldn't be here. So thanks obviously to you, whether you support us on Discord, whether you just support us on Twitch, or you're just a listener on one of the hundreds of podcast apps. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Make sure to go right now to your favorite app. It could be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any other podcast app. And give us a review. It only takes less than a minute. Give us some reviews, 1 through 5 stars. It will help us out to not only climb the top of the charts, but other people will discover us because of your support. So pause this podcast right now. Go to that, post a review, and make it happen. And also post a screenshot on social media. Like, hey, I reviewed Gamertag Radio. I'll give it a shout out. I'll retweet it. That's a promise. Promise. All right. So if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, I know we have one question, Pete. Should we do it right now very quick before we wrap it up? You good with that?
Do we have real quick?
Very quick. Let me. Go to Discord. Very quick. Go to fan mail. There's one question there. One question. Danny, does it make sense for us?
Danny does this so that he doesn't have to try to do the magic and
no, because I can't do it here. I can't. If I switch it, you will disappear. So I can't really do
okay.
it.
Okay.
I forgot to add in.
All right. Opinions.
Wait. Hold on a second. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Wrap it up. Go ahead. All right. Person of the year. Let's go.
On NFTs in games, would Xbox, like Game Pass or other platforms, allow it? How would it even work in games? Shout out to John Wiki, who's a listener, viewer on Twitch, and a member of the Discord server.
All right. Let me go over here.
Honestly, personally, I'm old. I don't 100% understand NFTs. I don't know if it fits. Is there a way to do it? Yes. Is there a way to do it that doesn't feel icky and disgusting? I think so. I'm glad. Square Enix decided not to proceed with allowing NFTs in their games. Was it Square Enix or was it a different pub? They were gonna force it. I think it's too early. I know blockchain gaming is a thing. It's been a thing for the last 2 years where you could take advantage of crypto mining in games. Obviously, we're not going to see it in Rainbow Six Siege or Extraction. But, you know, it is a thing. It does work. I think it's – I don't know. I don't even know if I have the right verbiage to say it sounds or works well. I know companies was it Norton is including crypto mining in their software for antivirus, and it's kind of icky and disgusting. I don't see why software that's supposed to protect your company is supposed to protect your computers is automatically adding it to their crypto mine. So doing it while I'm playing my video game on something that I've already spent money on, and I'm not going to get a return because you're supporting it. I don't know. I think I may need to do more research on NFTs, and Paris could probably explain this much better than I can because he's got a better talent at that.
Yo, I don't know, Jack. I don't know anything about this. I'll tell you this. a lot of companies are doing this because it's the hot new thing now. Trends, everybody's starting to do it, you know. And once it pops, it's going to go away. People are going to stop. Like right now, everybody's just trying to be part of the trend. Again, Pete, I'm like you. I don't know jack anything about NFTs. Zero. But it makes me feel uncomfortable seeing like all these gaming companies now like, hey, we have NFTs celebrating Castlevania, like all this, like, or Final Fantasy. Let's put an NFT. I just don't get it. The best thing to do is you don't like it, don't support it, don't buy it. And that's a more powerful way to show companies you're interested in, you know. But for me, I just don't know anything about it. I know those people saying that it's not good for the environment because of servers. I'm like, wait, hold on. You mentioned these servers, but also you have Netflix. You have all these digital servers that you're streaming. You also have cloud gaming. You support buying games from Steam and all these places, which also use servers. Like that to me doesn't make, I just don't get it. Please, if somebody can explain to me about NFTs, please send me an email because I just don't get it. But again, you don't like it, don't support it, be vocal about it.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, I know that we have friends in and around various communities, for example, DJ EFN and Nori over at Drink Champs that have, they've just recently released a set of NFTs to support them. And that's cool because they understand the brand, they understand the value of NFTs and how it pertains to their communities. As far as gaming, I don't know enough and I don't want to speak out of turn. Is it for me? No.
No.
Am I involved in cryptocurrency like and stuff like that? I may have some stuff on the side. But as far as NFTs and gaming, I don't know if I have enough to speak about that. And
same.
I'll just leave it at that.
And that's it. But thanks for the question. That was it's good to talk about this because, again, we don't know. I would like to learn more about it. But, you know, look, I'm a gamer, man. I play games. You know, I'm not in there like, let me invest in NFTs. Like, I don't know anything about them. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Thank you so much for listening and also watching Gamertag Radio. We'll be back here next week. More content. And it feels good to record. Feels good. Been a while. Absolutely.
Been a minute.
You know, take a break. Come back strong. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for watching and listening. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.